Taxation of Marijuana Act. Yes, Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. Last Thursday, I had the opportunity to print some training from Michigan Municipal League with Commissioner Conklin and Commissioner Page. And I provided you a memo kind of summarizing what I learned that day, or as best I could. There was a lot of information provided. I also provided the commission with the white paper provided by the Michigan Municipal League on the topic. You just want to replace some of the proposed or adopted. As you're aware, voters approved the Michigan Regulation of Taxation of Marijuana Act last November 6th. And in the city, it was approved by the voters of 1,052,782. The effective date of the law is 10 days after the Board of Canvassers certifies the results of the regulation. We don't know the exact date when that will happen, but it's anticipated that it'll be sometime in the first week of December. Once the law becomes effective, it basically puts in place regulations for recreational marijuana for individuals and for marijuana establishments. In regards to individuals, the law establishes the legal use, possession, transport, transfer, growing, processing of specified amounts of marijuana for persons over 21. It also identifies some activities that are not allowed, like driving and being under the influence and using on certain properties and things like that. While these regulations are important to law enforcement, they're really not concern of the municipality, as there are no regulations or requirements or restrictions that the municipality can put on an individual. Specifically, municipalities are prevented from enforcing any law on the individual that be inconsistent with the conduct that's permitted by the act. So the primary concern of the municipalities is the regulation of the establishments. The law creates a variety of different establishments, including a grower, processor, transporter, safety compliance facility, retailer, and a micro business, which is, I guess, that analogy is like a microbrewery where they grow, process, retail, use all in the same facility. The act also stipulates any other type of establishment, which is like a marijuana-related business licensed by the state. This provision would include facilities that fall under the Medical Marijuana Act and those regulations. Unlike the Medical Marijuana Act, which provided the municipality an option to opt in, this, in order to permit them, this act requires a municipality to opt out, so you have to take an action specifically say no. And it's recommended, if that is the desire, that an ordinance be adopted and not a resolution passed. If a municipality wishes to opt in, the city may adopt an ordinance or regulation for the commercial marijuana establishments. However, it was made very apparent in the training that the vague nature of the law and subjective terms used in the law and the development of ordinances regulating the commercial recreation marijuana pose significant challenges, as it is almost guaranteed that there's going to be litigation in regards to some of the terms used in the act. And likewise, if a municipality adopts an ordinance that is believed the ordinance is unreasonably impractical, it will be challenged. And those terms are also sufficiently vague, as they call, require value judgments to be made in regards to what an unreasonable risk is or what is a high investment. So it's likely these terms will probably go to some kind of litigation to be further defined. It is important that the city begin discussing the impacts of the act wants. Given the past experience with the Medical Marijuana Act and the state developing those requirements, which took years, there was hesitancy to believe that they would be able to accomplish this in 12 months. But on the other side of the coin, it was brought out that that framework to develop those rules is now in place, so it may happen much quicker. And while the state does have 12 months to develop these, if they do develop those regulations quicker, those applications could be accepted quicker. So it's something to keep in mind. It should be noted that if the city makes a certain action, opts in or opts out, they're not bound by that decision. They can change their mind at a later date. If the city does opt in and establishments are established, then there is the issue of grandfathering if they want to opt out at some later date. We want to affect that. Another change. So with that, I know Commissioner Conklin and Page may have additional insights from the training that are there, but this is to provide you primarily information, and I'm sure that if you desire to take any specific action, we can get that back to you. So with that, I'll be happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience or staff? Police Department, would you like to comment? Okay, Mike?
Boy, there's lots of things I could say. Obviously, this is kind of a new territory for all the communities in Michigan to deal with. On the one hand, the voters have spoken. On the other hand, we have state law that's going to be conflicting with federal law. So that kind of puts us in a dang if you do, dang if you don't type of situation, potentially. So there's a lot of things to think about. The vote just took place a week ago today. And we just want to make sure that we're getting the information to you as quickly as we can and finding out what, if anything, further you need to help you choose as to which direction you think is appropriate for the city to go in. Other than that, I don't have anything else much to say at this point.
I have a question for you, Scott. So, does this somewhat make the medical marijuana obsolete?
Well, not exactly. There is some overlap in the laws, and there are some advantages to maintaining the medical card. I believe there's some tax advantages for the purchase under that. So, and those established facilities, are already operating. So there is some overlap in that. How the two will integrate in the future, I don't know. Probably development of the rules and how they work will probably impact that somewhat.
Well, you want to go to board discussion? Scott?
Okay, yeah, I was at the meeting. I certainly left the impression, having worked in the legal world for many years, that this is going to be a boon for lawyers for a couple of years at least, because there's a lot involved in this that isn't defined, isn't really finely defined. And but on or around December 7th, it will be legal as an individual to have quite large quantities at home. I mean, if you have four people living in a house, you could have 48 plants because it's 12 plants per person. And I came away with the impression this was written by somebody who lived in that world. So I don't know. We have plenty of time to think about whether or not we want to have the establishments, I think they call them now, within the city limits. There's not going to be a lot of money to be made if you're thinking about, this is going to be a big money when it won't be, not on the local level. So there's a lot to think about, definitely, because it will have a great impact on everything. I mean, you have to be 20. You can think of it almost like it's marijuana, treat it like it's alcohol. You have to be 21, you know. It's really kind of the way they're thinking about it working that way, but I don't know. There's just a, it's quite a big task ahead.
You were saying. Yeah, I think if we, maybe not immediately, but we probably want to engage the planning commission in some kind of this, maybe Main Street DEA, to get some input about, you know, I know in Traverse City there's a lot of discussion about having those facilities, or the retailer in the downtown, you know, that type of thing. I mean, the voters did.
It was, what, 58% supported it in Boyne City? Is that what the...
I don't know.
It was over 100.
Actually, I think it was greater than the statewide average.
Yeah, it was. 57, yeah.
56,
42. You know, I'm not sure everybody really knew what they were voting for, but there's just going to be, I think, a year. The MML is really on top of it, which is good, and you know, did a lot of explaining about, you know, process. We probably want to allow ourselves, what, 3 or 4 months, Scott, to go kind of through the whole thing if we decide to draft something. You know, since it's, you know, it contradicts federal law, money is not, you know, it's a cash business, banks aren't involved in trying to attract money, you know, the fear of attracting crime because you've got such a cash business. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, my initial reaction is there's no reason to opt in, but, you know, we really should investigate it and be, you know, diligent and, you know, how we do that and get comments from the community. But like Sally was saying, you know, I think I passed it around to Mike about, you know, really, you're going to be in violation if you start growing because we don't have marijuana seeds, and if you're crossing the state lines, so that's a federal offense. And, you know, it's just all those things about that make it unusual. And my one takeaway was that the attorney who presented it was the legal counsel for the MML said that, you know, this has loopholes big enough to drive a couple semis through. So we'll see.
I keep thinking about the conflict that, you know, somebody wants to operate a retail store or retail outlet in Moyen City for the people, you know, passed it by that big a margin. How do you say no?
That has brought up to me too, just because of that.
Yeah. Well, I agree with your statement. I agree with your statement. You know, it's when you have, I don't know, I count them, but when you have 20 or 30 outlets of alcohol in town, we won't allow one outlet of marijuana. But I do realize the problems with it. And I do agree, Sally, I don't think we'll generate any local money from it. But I'm very much of the theory that we wait and see, and we wait for staff to give us direction. We do what you said, Hugh, maybe, is if staff recommends it, we talk to the planning commission and to Scott to see if that, what would it look like if you did some regulations, location-wise, how many are permitted, so on and so forth.
So, well, from the zoning aspect, it's pretty much retail. I mean, it's real similar to that kind of use, so I don't think that's a real concern. I think more of the policy implications about what are the secondary impacts that are unanticipated, and identifying those and making sure that as a policymaking body, you're comfortable with those.
We could have a processor or a grower somewhere in the industrial park. I mean, there are the five
five stages.
Right, but I think the primary interest is retail right now, the way I anticipate the people that are looking to establish a business.
Well, and it's interesting that if it's the 7th of December now, it's going to be legal for people to have it, but to have, you know, that's like, was it you who said seeds, you know, the retail part of it won't even exist for a year, so. So it's a non-odd way this is coming in.
Dean, I'm sorry, I skipped you.
Oh, no problem. You know, one thing I keep coming back to is that I was sort of surprised by the voting outcome, but it was pretty convincing, very convincing, and it's really important for us as elected officials to respect the will of our voters. And I think for us to consider, to carefully consider is important. Especially considering the outcome that, you know, our question is, are marijuana establishments appropriate, an appropriate land use in Boyne City, and if so, where and under what conditions? And that should, I think, be the frame of our discussion. I think it would be important for us as the year goes on to not try to revisit the initiative. In other words, revisiting whether medical, whether recreational marijuana is a good thing or a bad thing, or an impact it might have, and so on. Those are all good things to talk about. But it does, our voters have spoken on that issue in the way that I think we have to. The other thing I was thinking is, you know, in addition to involving our boards and commissions, which is a great idea, that to at least ask ourselves the question, at what point do we want to engage our citizens in some sort of public way? I don't think we want to wait for a year. But having said that, I'm not sure what the exact time would be to do that. Just to get people to talk and come in and visit with us about that question about establishments. I also think that it would be worthy for us to explore interactions with our surrounding communities, as we sort of do by course anyhow, but this does have more than just Boyne City, not only impact, but other communities are having the same discussion about, well, I imagine, about facilities, and if we're talking amongst ourselves about how our approaches to that, maybe it would be an approach where not everything's allowed everywhere, but maybe some kind of some sort of agreement about how these things are distributed beyond our municipal borders. At least it's worth talking about. Whether you come to consensus or not is another thing. And it certainly was apparent from reading all that stuff that this is going to be an interesting process in the next year, possibly more, as the legislature and the courts and all try to figure out what this really means and its impacts.
One other thing I just thought about when I read through the white paper again, there's a year, 12 months before they have all everything set in place. And if they don't, at the end of a year, people that want to have an establishment can come in and apply. If we are automatically opted in because we didn't opt out, you know, if we don't opt out, then at the end of a year, people will come wanting to, you know, apply to have a place in the city because they didn't have, you know, they don't have to wait for the state, but the state takes longer than them. So it's odd in any way.
The point came up earlier that this isn't just retail that we may be dealing with or will be dealing with going forward. Prior to the election, I received a call from an individual asking about availability in the business park for these type of operations as well, too. So I'm sure they'll be, in light of the election results, they'll be knocking on our door again before too long. So.
So I think what you want to hear from us is that you will give us information regularly as it comes before you and us, and you take this one step at a time.
That's fine for now. At some point we're going to need based on communications with the community or whatever, we're going to have to start figuring out what direction are we heading to. Are we looking to some type of regulation, or are we looking to opt out? As has been mentioned before, compared to the previous medical marijuana, where it was easy for us just to do nothing and opt out and basically maintain the old status quo, that isn't the option here. If the commission does not wants to be able to either prohibit it in this community with regards to the retail and other commercial uses of it, we'd be forced to take some type of action.
Yep.
And that would be difficult, I would think.
Especially with the vote.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think we want to let this sit forever.
No.
You know, or wait till one year. But, you know, I guess maybe it's, if we were to think about trying to get folks in our community together in the springtime, would that be too late to wait to start having more formal discussions? Or?
Well, I was just going to mention, I begin my service at the Michigan Municipal League Board with a meeting on Friday, where I'm sure the general counsel is going to be there. I'm sure there'll be lots of discussion about that. So hopefully I have some insights that I can bring to you at that point. This may be a good topic for us when we do our joint board and commission, or excuse me, our joint community meetings for Charlevoix County. I think we were talking about the census, or thinking about the census. This might be a much more interesting topic that we're all going to have to do. And, as I mentioned before, we just got through Save the Date thing for the League's March convention. Hopefully some of this stuff will start to be solidified by then. I don't think we want to meet much of any later than that, though. But that might be a good...
That would be about 6 months. If they have a year, then we start... I mean, we have to...
I mean, we'll have indications from the new governor, the new attorney general, the new legislature, how they're proceeding with all these pieces with regards to it. I mean, there's a lot of changes that are going on in the state right now as well, too. We had, Mr. Schutte had been elected. He had a prior history of how he dealt with marijuana. I'm not sure what Ms. Whitmer's indications are going to be, but I guess that'll be firming up shortly after January.
Mayor?
Yes?
Could I ask the chief, you know, what's coming from the prosecutor's office? Are they changing their ways of doing things yet, or... is there some protocol that
for right now, for the future?
Well, right now, like up in the stew, they were talking about where the prosecutor and the local law enforcement met, how they're going to be handling things, at what point, and whether or not somebody's going to be charged in the interim, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
Right. We're having a meeting tomorrow, the chief's meeting with the prosecutor. The prosecutor did ask that question and wanted input from the law enforcement. I think it's going to be really tough to hold the same posture that we've held in the past and say we're going to, for the next month or less than a month, and go down that path and, you know, prosecute people. And I think the prosecutors, he's pointed out as well that the governor-elect has made it a priority to pardon some of the people that are in prison for marijuana offenses. Kind of let, you know, kind of tip their hands, but you know how that's going to go. There's jury instructions that have to be rewritten for trials now. All this stuff put together kind of points to the fact that it's not really going to be, it's probably not worth the effort, I guess, to prosecute people in the interim. Expect some kind of an outcome that's not going to be undone, after January 1st, by some, by a governor's pardon or something like that. So I think those are, valid concerns. They're valid things to look at. But I think we'll make our final decision tomorrow as far as what we're going to do locally with the prosecutor.
To be continued.
Okay. Again, we want to approach the subject as quickly as we know, and we'll continue to do that going forward. And as we, kind of like we talked about the last topic, as appropriate development or important developments look to be coming forward, we'll bring it to your attention. And I appreciate, Hugh's been sending a number of articles for sharing and things of that nature. I just read, last night I was reading about Michigan State University's posture with regards to it, how they're stating how things are still illegal and will be, and that are going to prohibit it on their campus going forward. it'll be interesting to see how that's sustained, but those types of pieces are interesting to review.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item E, level of service statement. Yes, Mark.
Good evening. Yeah, as part of our asset management plan that we submitted for the water system, we had to submit a level of service statement, and you guys have, that was in your packet there. And basically, this is already stuff that we do. You know, we report all required monitoring to our annual reporting, respond to emergencies, customer complaints. This, they just want it written out so they know what people are doing, and they want the commissioner council's resolution supporting this, because some of these items, you know, like maintaining tanks, doing the tank inspection, everything, and doing the preventive maintenance thing, they want to make sure that the council on board with providing the funds that will be needed to do these things to keep your system up and running, and that's mainly what this is for.
Is this part of the SAW grant stuff?
No, this is for the water side, but the SAW grant will have to do the same thing for the wastewater asset management as well.
Very good. Any other comments? No, let's see here. Dean?
Looks great. Stuff you're already doing, you're just formalizing it.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think this is fine, but the red light is good stuff.
Sally?
So are there degrees, Mark? Is this like a Cadillac plan versus a Toyota Corolla plan?
Yeah, some of the communities have written swans. I've seen them. This is kind of stuff that we already did, you know, or we're doing, so I just kind of wanted to keep that in there.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Item F, Lucas automated CPR machine purchase.
Can you do 4% staying alive? Due to acquisition, Stryker purchased Physio Control, so they've come up with a promotional opportunity. And what that opportunity is to purchase an automatic CPR machine. I came presented this to you a year ago. It's been in my budget for 2 years. And what it will do is it will compress the chest automatically 110 times a minute, work to 110 times a minute. If you ever have had the misfortune to do CPR, it takes 80 pounds of pressure to compress the chest 2 minutes. So you don't last very long, whether you're doing it to stay alive. Now they say that's too slow and you have to do the baby shark. Sharp, 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 and that's how fast you have to be doing compressions. So that becomes very taxing as far as staff that you have on the scene. It improves patient outcome. It is a standard. There's a unit owned. I brought you a unit, but I don't own one to bring it to you. Boyne Valley has one. Melrose has one. Hudson has one. What I like about this particular unit compared to, say, what Emmett County uses or the hospital, somebody gave the hospital a huge grant and they got it pumpers. Well, they run off of oxygen and they're just noisy. And whereas this Lucas is very quiet, you can carry on a conversation and talk about what your next steps are going to be as you plan the care of the patient. So I asked Michael if he would show you a picture of it. If you saw my memo or the invoice, it's $15,000 to purchase this unit, and then the batteries, additional batteries, and charging system. Well, Physio Control, or Stryker, whoever is the actual parent corporation, is giving us a $2,000 discount on the actual equipment, and then they're going to give us $5,000 on a unit that we purchased several years ago, an auto pulse. And you'd say, well, what's wrong with the auto pulse? The fact is, it's just not user-friendly. The frustration with the auto pulse is you get anxious and you start hitting a button on the computer and the computer gets confused and suddenly you're taking the unit and getting it out of your way so you can manually do compressions.
It was a good unit. We purchased it, a refurbished unit. We purchased it for about $2,500. They're offering us $5,000 to trade it in. And it would be just, just improves the asset ability for us to take care of our patients. Somebody asked me the other day, on Lower Street, we had a cardiac arrest, and they were like, there were two ambulances here. Well, that's because one galley came over with the Lucas so that we could continue compressions on the individual. The two medical controls, whether you're Charleroi or whether you're Petoskey, they don't want you to transport a patient in cardiac arrest unless you have a automatic compression device, because trying to do it in the back of a moving ambulance at 65 to 80 miles an hour gets a little tough. So I'm asking that we can, and I have the money, we had budgeted $18,000 in capital assets, and so I'm asking you to pursue this $9,800 in purchase.
So would this be on the ambulance?
Yes.
And how many ambulances do we have?
We have two here and two in Boyd Valley.
So is one enough?
I believe at this point in time one's enough, because the way we have a day truck and a night truck, and so we just move that piece of equipment from one truck to the other truck on a 12-hour basis. I carry the auto pulse on the echo car. Where I find the problem with that is the paramedic has so much stuff to bring into the house: drug box, cardiac monitor, oxygen, and then you got to go back up and get the auto pulse. You just need another body, so it goes better if you put it on the working or the responding truck.
Do you keep track of how often you use the piece of equipment like that a year?
We probably have, out of 1,000 runs, probably less than 5% of cardiac arrest. And that's what the other problem with the auto pulse was. You don't build up a muscle memory. You just don't quite get to use it off. Even if you train on it, you're still, while you're standing back watching John put it on and say, okay, did everybody, did you see what I just did? And they all nod their head and they go, oh yeah, I got it. You know, this particular unit, they have simplified it. It runs on a battery, so you're not carrying oxygen tanks, and it just makes our job significantly easier.
Any other questions for John? No. Sarah?
I'll bring it up in short to you.
One size fits all.
One size fits all. That arm you see there that you see centered on the sternum, you bring that arm down based on the size of the person. So if you have somebody little, you know, that arm's just going to come down further. You have somebody who's got too much size, it just doesn't come down that far.
Looks like you're about good about driving a post with that.
From an individual who's been doing CPR since 1972, it's really amazing because you find yourself waiting. You gotta wait 3 to 5 minutes before you push the next rug. And you're just sitting there watching the machine working. Okay. Now I'll just give him a drug. Whereas before, you know, you were involved in maintaining the airway, doing the compressions, getting the drugs out. So.
Is it something one person can do, or do you
need to? Yes, so one person can set that up, somebody else is doing other activity.
Okay. There's no further questions or discussion? Yes?
Is that person on a gurney? Is that, I mean,
what that person has is a back plate. They're actually on a stretcher at this point in time. You remove the you see the little black straps up there by the green top. Yeah. The patient's arm comes up and gets secured there so that you can move the whole person right there. And so that the whole person gets moved, we have a sheet called a mega mover. And so instead of putting this person onto a backboard because they have the hard case, the person would be on the mega mover, then gets picked up by the staff and placed on the stretcher.
Is there a
reason? But if you never saw the auto pulse worked with a life band and it compressed, if you remember, atmospheric pressure. So if you had 760 millibars, they compress the chest, which increases the atmospheric pressure inside the thoracic cavity. that's what pushed the blood out of your atriums and your ventricles. And it was kind of violent. You know, you watch, I mean, it was literally violent. A lot of the nurses, when they first saw it coming to the emergency, they were like, that's like, wow. This is very nice, very quiet, you know.
Is there a reason why you didn't buy it before now, John?
Money. And this salesman happened to show up on the doorstep, introducing himself because Stryker has taken over physio control. I mean, there's changes that are going to happen down the pike here. 2020, our current monitor in 2020 will no longer be serviced by Philips. So we're going to be sitting there wondering what we're going to do for a cardiac monitor and defibrillator. The FDA has removed some authorization to Philips. Several years ago, they did the same thing with physio control. They shut down the production of the LifePak 15. And so there's just this jockeying in the industry as to what's going to come out to be the next generation. Rumor has it that Philips went out and bought a company out of Australia to bring this technology in. The new unit, the new cardiac monitor, the one today weighs about 27 pounds. The new one's going to weigh about 6 or 7. And from a man that carries 4 bags into your house, that's pretty exciting.
I don't know if Jeff has any comments with regards to this. This might replace him on the scene of many.
This is a working machine. If you've not seen anything until you've seen Jeff, you've seen it.
I'd love to make a comment.
That's okay.
Seriously. We're getting younger.
Yeah. I can't explain all that physiology stuff. I don't understand any of that. But I can show up and pump us. But I've seen this work. Boone Valley has it. I've seen it on the scenes. If you've ever watched these guys manage a cardiac event, it's a mess. There's stuff everywhere. There's equipment. There's medical. There's
controlled chaos.
I know you know what you're doing. But the personnel, you know, generally 2 people, you know, staff, 2 people show up at this event until they call for help. And that's why a lot of times we get involved in it. It takes 2, 3, 4 people sometimes to do CPR. When you're doing it, you know, those compressions that fast for 2 minutes at a time, and you got to rotate people in. And these guys got other things that they've got to do. That's why people like me end up on the pumping end of it, because they're doing their job. This alleviates it. They can manage those cardiac events. Because the machine's doing all the work for them, now they can do what they need to do medically with the medicine and manage the care. And I think it's a great tool. Like I said, I've been to a lot of those events, sometimes 4 or 5. People keep coming. You know, their staff keeps coming because they get good staff. They come in and help out. And sometimes there'll be 6 or 7 people doing compressions because you get wore out. This takes the place of everybody, and then they can manage the care the way they need to. So I think it's a great tool.
Thanks.
All right. Looking for a motion.
I would make the motion that we approve the purchase of the Auto Pulse. Trade in the Auto Pulse and purchase the Lucas from Physio Control, owned by Stryker Corporation out of Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
All right. Let's move on to the order.
I don't have any attention here. It's like, maybe next time I'd like to learn a little bit more for if you went to the Boeing Housing Solutions meeting last night. Last week. But listen.
Okay.
I just one thing. I would really encourage us to get better technology in this room. you know, tonight was a good example, trying to have a slideshow and those sorts of things. That, and I know this interface is an interface, interiors, I think, has staff that would help, you know, not necessarily, but just to set it up with a sound system and to do all those sorts of things. I would really encourage us to move on that.
Okay. My only comment is that we talked about three of our goals we talked about tonight. So the financial, the housing, Jane, and the parks and rec. So we must be on the right track. When action items become forward that actually meet the goals, that's good news. Our next meeting, regular city commission meeting is scheduled for November 27th at noon. Yes,
and just a reminder that we will be closed on Thursday and Friday, next Thursday and Friday, the 22nd and 23rd, for Thanksgiving.
There's something on the 27th. Why not? We have these in front of you. Yes.
So Tom's going to explain.
So the 27th is when we'd like this back. It's city manager evaluation process. And this is the process under contract that we currently use. And please fill those out. If you have any questions, give me a call if you'd like to call.
I have just one more thing. It was great to see the front area so clean of snow and ice, and it seems to be working well, the sidewalk system.
Yes.
It looks good.
Yeah, we had somebody in from B&W. They've been in a couple times. That's our mechanical heating and cooling folks, and they oversee the boilers that do that. So we're off a much better start than we were last year with regards to it. This room seems a little bit chilly to me right tonight, too. But again, I think slowly we're getting the bugs worked out.
I think we've got some high winds out there.
Yeah, I've been watching the window pulse behind Cindy.
I'm going to move.
There's a reason you're there.
All right.
Ouch.
I think so. 9:20, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.